Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the She Wins Podcast, the place for you to learn the systems and the strategies to grow your business and avoid costly mistakes. Every week, your host and amazing guests have conversations that will inspire you, motivate you, and empower you to show up and make it happen. Learn about marketing, building authority, lead generation, self-love, and much more with your host, marketing and business strategist, your soon-to-be business bestie, Fatia Fusaini.
Hello, beautiful people, and welcome to today's episode. I hope you're all doing great. I hope you're all doing amazing and you're ready for today. Today, we're talking about sales, and this is something that a lot of people struggle with, and not because they don't know what sales is or how it works, just because they don't know how to do it the right way. So people might come across as salesy. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about that, and I have a special guest with me talking about sales and how to sell the right way, especially if you have high ticket programs or coaching programs or high ticket products in general. And to do this, I have a special guest here. Her name is Hayley Rowe. And I'm really excited to have her here because she's a sales and marketing coach, and she helps clients, entrepreneurs, consultants, course creators to master marketing and get themselves out there and position themselves on the market in the right way. I'm really excited to be diving into this conversation today, and I hope you're excited to grab yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and a notebook. But never forget that, so that you can actually take these actionable tips that Hayley is going to be sharing. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Hayley.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here on the She Wins podcast.
Yay. We're so happy to have you here. So let's start with your background. How did you start your business?
Yeah. So I grew up in, well, I would say performing. I was a singer and I wanted to try acting and all these different things. And really at a young age, I realized the importance of selling yourself, really, to be honest. And in 2010, I knew that I had an interest in helping people. My interest kind of shifted from showbiz to being more around like health and wellness and habit change and things like that. And so I started in the coaching industry in 2010. Yeah. And what I realized, and got my bachelor's degree in entrepreneurship, and what I realized was I wanted to combine my two passions. One was business and marketing and sales and that kind of thing, putting yourself out there. And then my other passion was really the coaching, like transformational coaching. And so I worked at a couple startups in business development and marketing to get more experience. And then I realized I wanted to do it on my own. So I started coaching and offering strategies for coaches, consultants, people like that on how to market themselves, how to put themselves out there. And then over the last 3 years, I've started also doing services for entrepreneurs who want to outsource their marketing and not do it themselves. So it's been a real long journey, but I feel like I'm finally, you know, doing exactly what I meant to be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's been an exciting process.
Yeah, you said it's been a long journey, as for every entrepreneur, the journey is quite long. So tell us a little bit about what challenges you had to overcome within this journey.
Oh, yeah. So there have been many challenges. I mean, first of all, when I first started this business, I had just been at a company where they let everybody go because they were facing a lot of delays. They were having some issues internally. And that was really scary because I could have decided to find another job right away, but I made the choice to try to start my own business. And as you know, when you're starting your own business, you really have to figure everything out. So yeah. I was so hungry for knowledge and trying to, you know, I hired a mentor and I got help. But at the same time, I was, you know, every first thing is just, it takes a lot of energy and you have to learn so much from it. So I had my first masterclass and my first discovery call, and my first batch of big rejections. And so I'd say that was just to navigate because it was all so new. And then the other thing I see, you know, that I did in the beginning, and I also see a lot of people doing this, is downloading free things on the internet and trying to piece everything together. And you're like, have 12 different projects halfway done. And so that was another thing of learning how to manage my time and myself and get focused was really important as well.
Yeah, I think you just said something very important. And that's like, you know, a lot of people do that. They just try to download as many freebies as possible and think that everything that this coach or consultant or this course is going to teach me that I'm going to pay some money for is actually the same thing I'm going to find out online out there for free. And people have this mindset, but you need to change and move into the mindset like, you know, I need to invest in myself if I want to get there faster and in a better way, rather than doing it through trying and error. Because let's be honest, being an entrepreneur is already a hard journey. There's so much ups and downs. Why make your life more complicated? So I think that's a mistake that we kind of all do. But then we kind of learn that, you know, you have to kind of change your mindset and start thinking, you know, you are valuable. You need to invest in yourself, and everything, all the efforts, all the skills that you learn, nobody can take that away from you. So that money that you invest in yourself is actually very, very worth it. So yeah, that's a good thing to kind of look at.
Yeah. And I think there's a right way to invest and a wrong way to invest. I mean, you don't want to just be throwing your money into things that you don't, you know, just, you haven't researched and whatnot. But the analogy that helped me overcome this mindset and that I always share with people is like, imagine trying to constantly fill up and eat your meals at free sample bars at like Costco and, you know, all the places where they give away free samples in those little tiny cups. It's like, you're not, first of all, you got to go find the place. You got to head over there. Second of all, you got to look kind of like you're just taking a lot of freebies. Third of all, are you ever really full from that? Like, does that fill you up? No, you're constantly on food for the next small snack. So the way that I see it is, why not go buy yourself a nice meal that's ready for you and dive in and you know, learn and use that. So kind of a weird analogy, but
it actually makes sense, because it's just like, if you're gonna go running around trying to kind of fill your stomach, it's gonna take you time, and that's the first thing. It's gonna take you a lot of work. By the time you finish eating the first thing, you need to go running and you already lost so much time, so much energy. I feel like it's a great analogy, and that's the first time I'm hearing it, and I'm loving it. Like, definitely gonna use it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So let's move to one of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your journey so far.
Oh, yeah. So one of the biggest lessons that I have learned is that sales is not bad. And your job as a coach is to hold people accountable to what they say they want. Mm-hmm. There's a way to be pushy about it, and there's a way to embody someone who is serving. And I think you have to learn the second one. You have to learn how to embody somebody who is serving and sees sales as serving. So that was a big lesson for me. And the other thing that I would say is learning how to manage yourself and your own mind. Mm-hmm. Really, like, being able to focus, being able to not compare yourself, being able to set habits like staying off of social media unless it's business purposes, like that kind of stuff. You have to learn to become an entrepreneur, to become the kind of person you want to be, is really hard, but also really important.
Yeah. And I like that you actually mentioned that. I believe so. It's so important as well. So let's move into, like, you know, sales, because that's the big word that scares everybody, because people think about sales the wrong way. They think when people are being salesy to them. So that's what they associate with sales. But I believe sales is a beautiful thing. It's just like literally giving people what they need in that moment and serving them and kind of providing a solution to someone who has problems. So yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So I think first, if you're struggling with sales, you need to change your language around it. Because just as you said, sales can be a beautiful thing. It's an energy exchange. It's a partnership. you are giving something back. You're not convincing somebody to pay you and then taking that money and not delivering anything. It is it's an exchange. And also, one of the things that I really like to stress when it comes to sales is it has to be good for both parties, and it has to be good for the person who you're serving. So Dan Sullivan, who is an entrepreneur I really admire, he has a definition of sales, and it is: selling is getting somebody emotionally and intellectually engaged in a solution that's good for them. Mm. So notice where people start to get mixed up is they are offering something that's not good for people, or they're offering it to the wrong person who it's not a fit for, or the person on the other side is not intellectually and emotionally engaged in finding a solution. Mm. So when we look at sales, rather than seeing it as icky, convincing, pushing somebody, it's not. It is finding somebody who's looking for a solution, offering a solution to them, and, you know, making sure that they move through the process of becoming intellectually and emotionally engaged in wanting a solution.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think are the main steps that every business owner needs to consider when they are creating a sales system or a sales process within their business?
I love that. Yes. So there's a couple different stages. First you have to know that there's some stuff that has to happen before a sale. So in other words, there is lead generation, which is really when everybody's coming in to know who you are, right? Yeah. There's lead nurturing, and this whole process, it's like five steps, and it Alex Sharfman always talks about five core functions of your business, and the second one is lead nurture. So that's like, you know, sending emails to nurture people, getting to know them. Then there's the conversion process, and that's where sales comes in. Then there's the delivery, and then retention and keeping your clients. So mm-hmm. out of those five stages, you can't just jump to conversion without having leads and the lead nurturing first.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing you need to know is what are you going to be your lead gen and lead nurture system so that you can get to the point where you're converting someone. Mm-hmm. Second, you have to know and make sure that in your lead nurturing section of the puzzle, you are pre-qualifying people and also addressing their objections and concerns so that when they get to the conversion part, it's easier to convert them. They already understand that, you know, why your program's worth the value, things like that. So what I mean by that is, like, maybe you're going to have some posts on social media or lives or emails in your email funnel that address, like, hey, I know what you're thinking. Yeah. You probably see my landing page. You probably come on this profile, and you're still not budging with the blah, blah, blah program because you think it's not the right time for me, or it's too expensive, or I have to, you know, my husband doesn't support me, or something like that. Well, let's talk about that, first of all, and then you address those things, right? Now, you can also do that on a discovery call, but ideally, people coming on a discovery call with you for high ticket programs have already expressed that they know they need support, and you know, they're in a position where this is something that they probably want to do.
Yeah, I completely like that. It's very important to kind of take your prospect or your potential client into that journey. It's a process. Don't try and just go from like 0 to 100. It's like you say, if a lead has not been nurtured, don't try to convert it. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to remember. You need to work a lot on the foundations of your business before trying to get the results and be attached to the results. So I really like these tips that you shared. When it comes to high ticket coaching, obviously we talked about kind of addressing the objections and being there and know that people that come to you need to be qualified and know that they have a pain that they need to kind of solve at any cost. What would you say to people who are, I'm in my business, I know I'm supposed to be charging more for my business, but I don't see myself charging this much, or sell packages that cost this much?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really common because I think people feel like, am I offering enough? are people really going to pay this? And to that, it really, I mean, to be honest with you, there is no rhyme or reason to what some people are charging out there. Like, some people just decide, I'm going to sell a 10K package. They believe in it. They know they're going to deliver. They're ready to rise up to that. And they just go do it because they believe that they can, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think the key when it comes to this concern of, I don't know if I could charge more, you have to ask yourself, number one, if you were only going to get paid for the results and the transformation and the long-term benefits that people are going to get from your offer, what would that be worth? That's number one. Number two is, okay, let's say I'm concerned people won't be willing to pay this much. What kind of pain points and struggles and goals are urgent enough to them that they would pay this amount? Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm attracting the wrong people, or maybe I haven't pinpointed that yet, and I've been marketing the features of my program, meaning I've just been looking at it as, well, it's this many hours, and it's this many sessions, and it's this many things you get. And so that to me is only worth $100 an hour plus mm-hmm. the materials, right? And so most people are in that framework of looking at it from the features, and you have to step outside of that and say, what is this truly worth from me solving their problems, and who's willing to pay that, right? And then the last thing is just your confidence in yourself. Like, if you
say goodbye to your credit card rewards, greedy corporate mega stores led by Walmart and Target are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Who knew when you were in your lowest point that your ideal clients are struggling with, that it would be worth it to you to solve those things faster and with less stress and blah, 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 then you have to own that and step up to that.
Yeah, I like exactly what you said, like this last point, like if you were back when you were in that position, how much would you have paid for a program to take you out of the problems? And I always think about that, because when I first started my business and I was struggling and I was even getting that depression zone, I would have paid any amount. I would have done anything to even find the money that I didn't have to kind of get myself a coach. I didn't even know coaches existed until I actually found out about my coach, and I literally did borrow money to get started with my coach. So I think that's a very important thing that you just mentioned there.
You just said also a very important point, which is don't assume your ideal clients can't pay for what you offer, because if they're resourceful enough, like you borrow money and you figured it out. So don't make assumptions. Like, how dare you make assumptions that, oh, they can't afford me, they can't figure it out, they're helpless. Like, that's not what you want to think about your ideal clients. Yeah. They should be able to be resourceful if they want something and figure it out. And so the other thing I would suggest too is at the beginning of your business, when you are like really nervous, it's okay to sell your first package or whatever at lower than what you think you ideally want to sell it at. Because to me, getting in, it's like when you're forming a new habit, you don't nail it the first time. It's okay. Like early on in my business, my packages were cheaper because I didn't have the confidence yet or the results or the testimonials that I wanted to have yet. And so I wanted to do a couple test clients at a lower price and that kind of thing. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you have to get in the practice of selling your first one, and then you're like, you gain more confidence.
Yeah.
So you gain more, referrals, et cetera.
Yeah, I think actually sales is a lot about confidence, especially if you're selling high ticket product. Like you say, it's all result driven. If you're confident enough that you can deliver and provide the results and the solutions that your clients are looking for, then, you know, you'll be able to sell way easier. And a lot of the time, I just like, you know, you like your advice and start lower. And sometimes even if you start lower, you're kind of afraid of kind of raising your price. And I always say, you know, just add a couple of $100 and see if people will pay for it. And you soon realize that people will pay for it. People are not like, they're not gonna ask you for a discount if you have your boundaries right and you're like, you know, this is what I pay for. I'm confident I can deliver you the results. I can provide the solution to your pain that you have right now. Because when people are in pain, you think about the last time that you were in pain and you wanted someone to help you, wanted to find a solution, you were so desperate about it. Go back on that time. Would you have paid anything? Would you have done anything to get the solution to your problem? So I think it's also about looking inside ourselves and what would you do as well, like if you're in certain situations.
And going back to the confidence piece, if you go into a sale with like a needy energy, like I need this sale, that is not, that attracts other needy people who want a discount, right? So you have to go in with, who do I want to work with? Do I want to work with this person? Can I really help this person? Yeah. Does it feel like a fit? And making sure that you're not, you know, you are embodying somebody who understands that there are plenty of fish in the sea. You don't need, you know, this is, you don't need this person, right? Because that brings a whole different energy to the call.
Or you don't need everybody. You need someone specific. That's your ideal client. You can't be just going out there and trying to work with everybody because first of all, maybe your personality end up clashing, or you actually find out that that person doesn't appreciate your work. And that's something that I see a lot of people find themselves into because they end up working with people that are not to that level to appreciate the work that they are doing with them. Because as a coach, you're not telling people what to do. You're guiding them. You're directing them. You're showing them the way. And some people are just like, oh, I'm not getting what I need. A coach doesn't supposed to tell to do things for you. A coach is there to kind of guide you and give you the direction that you need.
Right.
Because you're getting the wrong type of client, that person probably thinks that you need to do stuff for that person. So it's very important to focus on who is your ideal client. Don't work with anybody just because of the money. And people also sense it as well.
Totally. And it's more, sometimes it's more expensive on your energy and what it takes to work with somebody who's really not a fit or expected, you know, that you didn't set expectations properly or anything like that. That can be even worse than getting the money for the sale and then having this disaster.
I definitely agree. I learned that the wrong way. I kept complaining to my husband and my husband was like, oh my God, I don't want to hear about this person anymore. But that's how it is. It literally takes over your whole life if you work with the wrong clients. So you don't want to get in that situation. That's the reality. Like, get very focused, set your boundaries and know exactly who you want to work with and who is worth your time. Because we need to remember that we all have priorities and we don't get our time back.
Right.
Yeah. You also do lead generation. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I think the reason why, you know, lead generation is so important is because at the end of the day, if you're a coach or you sell a high ticket offer, it comes down to the number of offers you're able to make minus the no's, right? So with lead generation, we need a constant stream of traffic coming in of people who can be nurtured by you and supported by you and realize, hey, this person's helping me out and I want to take the next step with them.
Yeah.
So we do things at my company, things like LinkedIn lead generation, Instagram organic lead generation. And I think the most common thing, like mistake or thing that people do when it comes to lead gen is they think it only means ads and Facebook ads and they have to go straight away to do Facebook ads. And really that can be expensive to number one, maintain, number two, test, number three, you need a monthly ads budget. And I'm not against ads. We do that too. But to me, I think starting out, there is a way to fill your pipeline in ways that are more human to human and, you know, automated, but don't require an ads budget, that kind of thing. Yeah. So that's why social media is so great. And some of the things that we do with like growing your following organically, And I also would say with lead generation, people, rather than, you know, needing to, I think it's important to have some kind of idea of how you want to nurture the relationship. Meaning, usually what happens is I introduce myself, I get to know them, they join my Facebook group. In the Facebook group, they see X, Y, and Z, they go on the call, and then I convert them. Versus just like, I have this conversation with somebody, it falls flat, I have nowhere to guide it, I have no call to action. And that's, you know, that's where a lot of people get messed up.
Yeah, I think it's a very important thing that you just said again. And I think it goes back to what you previously said as well. It's a journey. And you need to remember, it's a process that you're taking people to. You can't literally jump, like, you know, the steps and go to the end. And that's what a lot of people do. They just like find someone and they're just like, okay, I'm gonna sell to that person. I'm just gonna get them to buy something from me. And they literally jump from like the first step to the last step. So I think that's a very, very important. And I've always been curious about LinkedIn lead generation. Can you mention a little bit about that? Because just for my curiosity.
Absolutely. So with LinkedIn lead generation, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it, as you probably know. And what it includes or entails is, number one, finding targeted leads through Sales Navigator. Okay, and that's like a monthly subscription service that you can sign up for, but we do it for our clients. So we find your ideal client, and we send out 2,400 invitation requests a month. And then from there, who accepts that, you know, we start to build a relationship with them. So we do usually a two message campaign. And remember, this is not, hey, like sign up for my program, but it's something like, hey, you know, I saw you two are in the podcasting world and an entrepreneur, would love to connect, get to know you. And then in the second message, you might ask a question that is like, you know, starting a conversation. And then, you know, in your back of your mind, how you could support this person if they want to take the next steps and go through your funnel, quote unquote, or book a networking call or a discovery call, or however you want to do it. So we work with clients who want to go directly like to potential clients on LinkedIn. And we worked with clients who want to just use it for networking or booking podcasts or, you know, forming referral partnerships. Yeah. So there's two different ways you can go about it. One's not necessarily better than the other. It just depends on how you want to approach it and who your niche is. Yeah. And from there, you know, showing up on LinkedIn and posting is helpful, but to be honest, it's a different platform in that you don't need to be on it all the time to be successful using it.
Yeah. And I know that this is a done for you service that you guys provide, isn't it?
Yeah. It really optimizes, you know, how your voice and your messaging based on what you feel you want to do.
I believe it's very important, especially as a business, you need to do more of things that require you and that you like, and then outsource the thing that just make you waste time. Because let's be honest, when you don't know how to do something or you just don't feel like doing it, you end up wasting way more time. So it's actually a better solution for yourself to kind of outsource it and know, I'll put aside a budget for this and I'll get better results, because first of all, I can focus on things that I love doing and I enjoy doing, and I'm going to waste less time and probably make more money as well. So I think as a business owners, we need to kind of put that in mind. It's very good to outsource.
Yeah. And what is your hourly rate versus, you know, you spending time on that? If somebody can do that at the same rate or less, that's a good deal, right?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, tell us a little bit about how you stay productive as an entrepreneur, a business owner, a coach during the day.
Yes. So I'm a big fan of like batching, which means,
for example,
I love having like all my calls in a chunk of the day so that I'm not spread out like, oh, I got to wait for this next call and I only have a half hour and like, you know, trying to answer shift gears and it's just like my brain. That's one major thing. Another thing is I have a team and I outsource all the time. So asking yourself, who can help with this?
Yeah.
And how can I make this into a system that is not a repetitive task that I'm doing all the time, but actually a system that somebody's trained on and they know, you know, what to do. In the beginning of my business though, I didn't outsource a lot because I was still new. I didn't have a huge budget. And so what I had to do was become a master prioritizer as far as like, what is going to help me grow my business the fastest? Let's put those top three priorities at the top of the list. And then the other things that are maybe more fun, like creating an Instagram graphic or something like that, it just wasn't at the top of my list. And if it didn't happen, it didn't happen.
Yeah, I love that. I'm a huge fan of that. And I always talk about this on this podcast, batch creating. Even today, I was on Haley's podcast like this afternoon. And then I had calls and now she's actually on this podcast and she's my last call of the day. But it's very good to kind of put everything like concentrated. So, you know, I'm in this creative zone as well that I can talk and go through everything. And I love the fact that you talked about prioritizing, because that's still a big part of my business. And I always say, even if you're starting up, you can still outsource using Fiverr. Literally, get on Fiverr for $5, $10, $20. You can get some of the work that you don't need to be focusing on done. Like, literally, you can do it from the beginning. So I always try to like put people in that direction, because it's very, very important. You have more things to do. Like, you know, you have a life, you have kids, you have your husband, you have the house, you have so many things to do as a woman. So finding that balance is all about kind of outsourcing and knowing what your priorities are.
Absolutely. And there's so many, like you said, tools out there that make outsourcing affordable and also just like done for you templates. And like, we live in a world now where everything can be really find some good resources to save you time.
That's amazing, Haley. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Can you tell our listeners how they can connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can definitely find me on Instagram at Haley_Rowe. That's H-A-I-L-E-Y and then _R-O-W-E. I'm at HaleyRowe.com. I'm at GoPowerPlayer.com. That's our marketing company's website. And if you want to I have the Health Coach Nation podcast. That's for all coaches, business tips. But if you have any questions, or you came from the She Wins podcast and you want to send me a DM and say, like, I had a question about LinkedIn lead gen or whatever, let me know. And we can offer something special for your audience in particular if they want to book a call. You were on my podcast earlier today. So if your audience wants to check that out down the road.
Yeah. As you guys know, all these details are going to be in the show notes. So head over and check it out. And as I always say, don't be afraid to reach out and ask your questions. Like, nobody is going to tell you how dumb your questions are if you reach out. Not me, not Haley, and not majority of the people. So stop being in your head and reach out to Haley and ask her your questions. Like, we're here for this. We're here to support you and to guide you and provide you like those shortcuts that you need within your business. So go connect with Haley. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, and we really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. Me too.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. For more resources, check out www.shewinsmastermind.com, and don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. See you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.